This week is called Being In It To Win It, Living Life Well, Part 2. So last week, if you remember, we looked at Hebrews 12, and I'll just read that again. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honour beside God's throne." Just think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people, then you won't become weary and give up. And I love the way that it says, run with perseverance, get rid of the stuff that's slowing you down, look to Jesus. And last week we looked at the running the race that was set before us. We talked about we each have our own race that is set before us, and perseverance and endurance and living well is actually for the long haul. We looked at getting rid of the extra baggage. Remember, throwing off the things that we don't need, all those things that weigh us down. We looked at wearing the right clothes for the journey, that we don't wear the horse head suit when we're running a marathon if we if we want to run it well. And we looked at focusing on what's ahead rather than always looking at what's behind. So this week we're going to look at what I have called making it through the quit zone. And the quit zone is that thing that you get to in most things that we do have an area where it gets hard. You know, that place where you've just got to push forward, where it gets hard. It's harder to do the things, and sometimes pushing through the quit zone takes energy and effort, but it's about not giving up. This is a place, if you think about it, we've been using the marathon analogy. Runners go through what they call the wall. I looked it up this morning. The wall is caused by the body using up a lot of the sugars and the carbohydrates within it, and it just, as the body uses all of that up, of course it starts to react to that, and they call it the wall. The wall happens usually somewhere later in the race. I was reading an article about a guy who had done some training, and he did 5K, did 10K, that was fine, did that, thought he was good at the long haul running, thought he was going great, and ran a marathon. Started out, made a rookie mistake, felt really, really good, so started to go faster. He said he got to the 10 and he was fine. He was talking in miles, so that he was thinking about a 26-mile race. Said he got to the 10-mile mark, he was fine. Got to the 15-mile mark, he was fine. Got to the 18-mile and the 20 and he was fine. And then he got to the 22 and he hit the wall. And he said his body started to react, but he didn't give up and he pushed over that line. He said he learned an important lesson that day. You got to prepare for the wall. It's there. It's going to happen. It comes. And it normally comes toward the end. The wall is not something that we face, or the quit zone, if you like, is not something that we face when we start out. When we start out, we're motivated. When we start out, we're enthusiastic and we're just going for it. We run because it's fun and it's exciting and it's new. And then it gets a bit samey. But we haven't quite reached the goal. But we get to a point and we think, maybe it's good enough. And that's the quit zone. And how do we push through that quit zone? Well, we push through it. But how do we do that? Well, in marathon running, it's a physical and a physiological thing. But I think for us, quite often, our quit zone's more an emotional or a spiritual quit zone. And we have to be aware of that. I read this thing this morning that says, it's called runforyourlifefitness.blogspot.com.au. There's something about quitting that hurts your spirit. It's demoralizing. I know we're all tired of the humanist mantra, believe in yourself. But there comes a time when you have to just stop telling yourself you can't do it. When you give up, when you don't cross the finish line, when you throw in the towel, it's a discouragement that sticks with you. It'll make it harder to keep going next time, lots harder. And life is not supposed to be easy. Difficulty is part of life. We're all going to face situations that seem impossible. But for me, when I have proved to myself in even just one area of my life, running for instance, that I can do it, that I can push through it even when the hills are steep, when things are hard, it makes me feel stronger to meet whatever else life will send my way. When we push through, we become stronger and we're able to reach the next goal. Rach, have you got that photo? If you could throw it up now. This was one of the photos that was on the website. Success and perseverance. You notice that they cross each other here. Now, that's just a little visual to help us. If we want to be successful, we need to persevere. We've got to learn perseverance. I think that one of the things about the quit zone is that knowing that it actually is going to happen is helps us prepare for it. When we know something is going to be tough, then we can prepare for that ahead of time. The quit zone will happen. Who here has gone through life and never said, I can't do it again? I can't go on. I can't do it anymore. Who here said, I'm quitting? Who's ever quit something? Yeah, we all do. We all, girls, there are some things that's okay to quit. It's okay to quit smoking. In fact, that's a good thing. There are some things that we don't want you doing. But I'm talking about those things in life that we know that God has called us to. Those goals in life that we know are the right things for us. Sometimes we've quit those things. And God is saying, push through the quit zone. Move forward. Go past it. It's going to happen. It gets hard. It gets tired. What do we do when we quit, when we get to the quit zone? What are we going to do? What can we draw on that will actually help us pass that? I think the first thing is understanding that this is actually a normal response. The quit zone is actually normal. It's not that you're the only person. Like, we just did a quick thing there and everybody has said they felt it. You're not the only person that feels discouraged at times. You're not the only person that feels like it's all too hard. Sometimes that feeling of it's all too hard is absolutely normal. We all feel it from time to time. But it actually doesn't have to overwhelm us. It being just because something is normal doesn't mean it has to overwhelm us, and it doesn't mean that it has to define us. We are not defined by those feelings and by that sense of I can't go on. It only becomes too hard when we actually give up. That's when it becomes too hard, when we actually say, I'm not going on. Whilst we're still going there and we're still pushing forward, we can move through. You know, tough times happen, but be prepared for them, because when they know we come, we can be ready for them. Jesus had tough times. This is even as he faced the cross. What did he say? He said, God, if possible, take this cup from me. What was he saying? He's saying it's hard. It's tough. I don't want to do this. I think, you know, it says that he can sympathize with us in all our weaknesses. He understood what it was like to get to a point where he didn't want to move forward. But what did he say? Not my will, but yours be done. And so knowing that it's normal and understanding it, we can push through. Knowing that even Jesus had a time when it was tough and when it was hard. That passage in Hebrews says he had all sorts of stuff come against him, but he chose to move forward to reach the goal that was ahead of him, to bring salvation to people, to bring relationship back, to restore relationship between people and between God. So, you know, instead of being defined by the tough times and it's the too hard, I think we can be defined by the this is tough, but it's going to get better. This is tough, but it's going to get better. I actually think we probably need in our thinking, knowing a lot of what we know now about our thinking, we probably need to just ditch the phrase, it's too hard. We've probably just got to ditch it. Because whatever we say, it's too hard, we're telling ourselves over and over again that it's too hard. We're reinforcing that it's too hard. I think we have to replace it with, in God, all things are possible. In God, all things are possible. Philippians 4:12 and 13, this is Paul reading. He says, I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. I can do everything. Doesn't mean it's not going to be hard. Doesn't mean it's not going to be tough. But we can do everything through Christ. Do you notice it's through Christ? We're not talking here about striving and pushing in our own strength. We're talking about in Christ we can do all things. And I think that needs to be the expression that comes out of our mouths. In God, I can do all things. Do you remember at the beginning of the year, we had the message on I am able because God is able. I think that's a really great phrase to hang on to and to meditate on. I am able because God is able. And if we think about that, if we think about all those things, then we get to the point where we can say, it's not too hard. It's not too hard. It's tough, but I'm going to make it through. Whatever the situation is. Because giving up, I don't know if you've noticed this, but giving up on the things that we know are right never makes them any easier or any better. We just have to come back and fix it up again later. It doesn't make it better. Galatians 6, 9 to 10 says, "So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we'll reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith." And in Hebrews 12, I love these verses, it says, "So take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. Mark out a straight path for your feet so that those who are weak and lame will not fall but become strong." Paul was talking to a group of people and he says, strengthen yourselves because you're doing this together. People have stuff where they're struggling. But if we do this together and we mark out a straight path, then as we do life together, the people who are struggling will not fall. Rach was talking earlier about having people around us and encouraging one another. That's part of what this is about. But Paul writes, don't give up because we'll reap a harvest of righteousness. I think it's talking about persevering in our spiritual lives, but we can apply it to every area of our life. If we don't give up, we will reap the harvest of righteousness. As I said, girls, I'm not talking about things that are not good for us. We need to give up and throw off and get rid of the things that are not good for us. But when it comes to what God has called us to do, we need to push forward and keep pushing forward. Like I said, it's normal to get to the point where it's hard and difficult. But remember, victory is usually just around the corner. That wall in the marathon comes only a few kilometres or few miles from the end, from the victory point, from the finishing line. And if we keep pushing through, we go past where we are now, we find that victory is actually just ahead of us. And sometimes it's, you know, we have all sorts of expressions. It's darkest before the dawn. It's, you know, it's just around the bend in the road. We don't know how big that bend is, but when we get around the bend, there's the answer. It is dark before. It's also cold. It's also coldest before the dawn. There's lots of really good geographical reasons for that, which I can talk to you about later. But it is often darkest and coldest before the dawn. Why? Because the sun's just about to come up. And if you think about it, yeah, sun rises, sun goes down. Actually, if you think about it, the reason is we know, we have that expression to encourage ourselves that it's going to get better. The sun is going to rise again. A new day is coming. Something better is ahead. And that's what all this is about. So as in the marathon, the toughest part is usually just before you get the breakthrough. And it's that breakthrough, it's that victory, that's what we're aiming for. And so if you're in a tough place at the moment, if things are difficult, if you're working on something and it just doesn't seem to be working, I want to encourage you that the victory is actually not that far ahead of you. The breakthrough is not that far ahead of you. There is stuff that we do in life that we just have to work hard at. But the victory is just ahead of us. It's not that far away. Then the second thing we have to do is build strength. And this is really more, I guess, about what we would do early on before we get to the quit zone. If we're going to push through the quit zone, we need to be prepared for it. So there's some stuff that we can do that can actually help us. Just as I was reading the article on the marathon, the guy said actually one of the ways to diminish the wall and to try and get rid of the wall in the marathon is to actually prepare well beforehand and to eat the right foods beforehand and to actually fill your body with the right stuff beforehand. You can see where I'm going with the analogy, can't you? It's pretty straightforward. Just fill your body with the right stuff. Fill your mind with the right stuff. See, knowing that times will come and what we can do actually helps build resilience. Did you know that tough times build resilience in us as we bounce back? They build resilience. And this is what building strength is all about. See, a marathon runner doesn't just wake up one morning and go, think I'll run a marathon today? No training, no nothing. Think I'll just pop into my clothes and off I'm going to go. No, they spend months and months and months and months preparing. Months and months and months learning about the course. Months and months and months looking at what they're going to eat and how they're going to train and how far they're going to run and when they're going to run that and when they're going to taper back. There's a lot of science that goes into what they're actually going to do. They prepare well. They're building their strength for the marathon. They're building their strength. And we do that as well. So when we're deliberate about reading the Word, girls, you know this stuff, I know you know this stuff, I'm just going to go over it again. When we're deliberate about reading the Word and seeking God, when we're deliberate about our relationship with Him, when we choose to get into His Word and when we choose to get it into our hearts, then we build strength. It's when we are deliberate about those things, then we don't just get up in the morning and go, gee, there's a hard time, what am I going to do? No, we know what to do because we're prepared for it. We've got the Word of God in us. We've got some of those things in us that were going to keep us strong. You know, why do some people bounce back better from adversity than others? Have you ever noticed that different people can go through exactly the same situation and end up in a very different outcome? Have you ever noticed that? Same situation, different outcomes. What is it that allows one person to bounce back better than the person next to them? It's resilience. It's their resilience. Now, there's all sorts of reasons why some people have more resilience than others. But resilience is that ability to bounce back. You know, sometimes stuff has happened in our lives that has caused us to have less resilience than other people. But I want to say to you, the good news is that you can build your resilience. Just because it's not in your life at the moment doesn't mean that it can't be from now on in. But it will be about the choices that you make from now on in. We build resilience by focusing on our strengths, by being deliberate in our approach, and by making decisions that choose to look at what you can do rather than what you can't. Heidi, can you just pass me that bit of paper? Just there. With kids and teenagers, I don't know, some of you might have seen it, but it's called the Resilience Donut. The Resilience Donut. There are things in our lives that affect our resilience. And there are things like whether or not people have money, the community that they live in, what kind of peers they have in their life, what kind of education, there's family and identity, there's the skills that they have, so the gifts and talents, what kind of parents did they have. These seven sections, what they do with the resilience donut, they ask a whole lot of questions in all of those areas. And then you look at the scores and you just score each section, but they don't add up the scores and say, oh, this person only scored 5 and this person scored 50. No, what they do is they look at the scores for each one and say, what are your top 2 in those ones? What are your top 2 scores? They might have only been 5 out of 10 or 6 out of 10, but what are they? What are the top 2 scores? Okay, let's work on those. They're your strengths. Let's use your strengths to help you build resilience and overcome your weaknesses. I love it. If you think about what the Bible says for us, God says, you have been given different gifts and talents. Use them. There's stuff that we can't do, but there's stuff that we can do. And so I love that this actually focuses on that. The community factor was really strong. Do you know what they found? They found that children who had a connection to a church in some way actually were more resilient than people who didn't. Why? Because it's community. It builds community for people. Rach talked before about the need for people and community. It's really, 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 really important. So if you're interested in that, you can find the Resilience Donut on the web. It's actually an Australian thing, so have a look for it. But if we're deliberate in our approach, if we're deliberate in what we do, then we will become more resilient. We will build strength. And when we hit that quit zone, instead of going, I've had enough and I quit, we go, I can go through this. I can move through this. There's some stuff here that I can do. I know there's things that I am capable of doing. I know that there is a decision I can make that will move me forward. And that's what we need to look at. I want to ask us a question. What areas of strengths do we have in our lives? What areas of strengths do we have in our lives? Because when the times are tough, that's what you want to draw on. They're the things that will hold you through it. They're the things that will keep you firm. What do we have that helps us? What do we have that helps us? I've thought of a few things, but you might think of a few more. We have the Word of God and we have the promises of God. We have friends. We have people who believe in us and who love us and who care for us. We all have our own individual strengths. And as we do life together, then we can move forward and we can push through that quit zone. It's really hard to do life on your own. That's why the Bible says, don't stop getting together with people. Because you end up out on a limb, you end up isolated. It's really, really tough out there. Galatians 6:7 says that what you sow is what you will reap. says, don't be misled. You can't mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. I think that before we go through tough times, we have to learn how to sow well. We have to learn how to sow well into our lives. We have to learn how to sow ourselves into the Word and sow the Word of God into our lives. I believe we have to learn how to sow God's promises into our lives. I'm talking about the word S-O-W, as in sowing seed, not S-E-W, although sowing them together might be helpful. And whichever sowing you want to choose, silly old English language. But, you know, the farmer sows his seed, and if he wants to reap wheat, he grows and sows wheat seed. That's a really tongue twister. Try saying that 7 times quickly. If he wants to grow corn, he sows corn. See, what you sow is what you reap. And if we want to reap the Word of God in our lives, then we have to sow into it. We have to read it. We have to get going on it. If we want to reap friendships, then we have to be a friend. We have to sow into our friendships. We have to build friendships. We have to do those things that make a difference. If we want to be able to stand on the promises of God, we've got to know what they are. We've got to sow them into our lives. And if you think about it, I think we have to develop a habit of a positive attitude, a positive attitude that draws on the truth of the Word. Now, Jesus says that He is always with us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And in Hebrews 13:8, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can rely on Jesus. As we build our relationship with Him, we can rely on Him because He does not change. We need to get this stuff into our hearts. I think, you know, over this year we've been talking a little bit about Dr. Carolyn Leaf and some of the strategies that she uses. I think one of the areas that we can help build strength in and get past that quit zone is learning about what's going on in our brain and how we can actually take hold of that stuff and actually get rid of the stuff that isn't helpful and build instead stuff that is helpful. And she has a whole process which you can read about if you want to talk to me about it later. I'm happy to go through it. But basically what she says is you have to be deliberate about a change. You have to make a decision that you're not going to think a particular way anymore. And then you have to make a decision that you are going to think the right way. And as you make that decision to not think on the negative stuff in your brain begins to break down. And as you think on the right stuff, that begins to become firmer, because whatever you think on actually gets bigger and bigger in your thinking, because it actually gets stronger and stronger in your brain. I don't know about you, but I don't want the negative stuff to get stronger and stronger and stronger in my head. I want the positive stuff to be stronger. I want the positive stuff to be stronger. And she has this great little saying, if you can wire it in, you can wire it out. So if we've wired negative stuff in because of the way we've been thinking, then let's just make a decision not to do that. Let's bring it before God, ask His forgiveness for that, and make a decision that if we've wired it in, we're going to wire it out. We can do it. We can make a decision on it. So be deliberate about it. And like I said before, be deliberate in your relationships, because it's when it's tough that God says, bear one another's burdens, walk through life with each other, encourage one another, love each other. These are all things that we build up and develop before we hit the wall. Because we're going to hit the wall at some stage. We're going to hit that quit zone at some stage. But the quit zone isn't going to define us, is it, girls? We're going to move past it. See, others will believe in us even when we struggle. I read an article a little while ago about a guy who was planning a church. He'd been used to being in a large church. He was some kind of executive pastor in a large church in America. And he planted a church and he struggled and he struggled and he struggled. His church was very, very small for a long, long time. And he got to a point where he basically said, he got to the quit zone. I'm ready to give this up. So he went and he spoke to his pastor with whom he had gone through that whole process of planning the church. And we're talking like 3, 4, 5 years, like a long time down the track. And he said, he told the pastor what was going on. And he said, if you don't have faith for yourself, borrow some of mine. And I thought, what he's saying is, there's someone who supports you, loves you, and cares for you enough to say, I believe in you. That's what he was really saying. I believe in you. He needed someone to carry that burden with him and say, I believe in you. You can do this. And that guy went on to build a church of several thousand people. He's thriving today. He just needed someone to believe in him. We need each other. We need each other. So what areas of life will we begin to build strength in? Where are we struggling with stuff? What will we do? And what areas of thinking will we work on? We've all got thinking that is wrong. What areas of thinking will we work on? The third thing is refocus and apply faith. Yeah, okay, refocus and apply faith sounds easier said than done. Yeah, probably is. But let's do it. Let's make a decision. What was the original vision that you had? When you get to the quit zone, what was the original vision that you had? The original direction, the word from God. Because when we take hold of that again, that re-energizes us and revitalizes us. What is it that God has called us to do? It may not look good at the moment, but what is it that he's called us to do? Let's refocus. We can ask ourselves some questions. Why am I doing this? What was the reason that I started this in the first place? Where am I going with this? What was my goal in the first place? What was my vision? What was the promise that God gave me? All of those things that actually help us to ask ourselves, what is it that I'm really heading to? Sometimes we get a little bit off track and we get waylaid and we think that other things become important, and that's part of the reason we get the quit zone, because we're doing too much. And God's saying, focus on what it is that he's actually called you to do. Get back to it, get excited, refocus on the main thing. I read this thing about a girl today called, her name is Crystal, and she has this no quit zone, and it's American, but it was aimed at helping young girls get through school who had all sorts of problems. Not just young girls, could be guys as well. But she fell pregnant at the age of 15, but she decided that she would not become a statistic. Do you notice the word there? She decided. She decided that she would not become a statistic. Therefore, quitting goal she had set out to accomplish was not an option. Don't you love that? Quitting was not an option. We have to get to that point. Quitting is not an option. And when we refocus on where God's taking us, and when we think about what he's called us to do, we can say quitting is actually not an option, because we're focused on what the real thing is. And this girl has actually set up a whole program to help other young teenagers who are struggling at school to finish school, move on in life. But I just love that bit where it says she decided. She was not going to be a victim of what everybody else said she was or what she was going to do. She decided. You know, last week we looked at Philippians 3, where the Apostle Paul says he's determined to push forward to the goal ahead. And Jesus, we mentioned earlier, because of what was before him, he endured that difficult time. See, God's promises are out there, and we need to apply faith, step out, keep going. Hebrews 13:5-6 says, don't love money, be satisfied with what you have, for God has said, I will never fail you, I will never abandon you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? What I like about that is it's saying, God is our helper. God is there. He won't leave us. He's not going to just drop us off the end and say, you don't count. No, he will never leave or forsake us. He's set a purpose and a plan. He's put eternity in your heart. He's given you a vision and a goal and something to go after. And he's saying, you can do it. You can do it. Because I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. Will there be tough times? Yes. Will it go the way we planned it? Not always. But God says, focus on the vision. Focus on what it really is. It's the final outcome that is the key thing. The final outcome. Not what today is, not what yesterday looked like, not what tomorrow might be. It's the final outcome, the promise of God, the vision, those things that you're aiming for. That's what it is. Anything worthwhile takes time and effort. I am the queen of finding the shortcut. I love finding shortcuts if there is one there. But can I tell you, anything worthwhile, there is no shortcut. If you really want to do something worthwhile, you actually have to do the hard yards, because it's in doing those hard yards that you grow and that you learn. So I thought it'd be good to do a bit of inventory. What have we started that we haven't finished or didn't finish or quit. What have we started that we quit? Yeah. What was it that caused us to quit? Was this a good decision because it was something that was harming us? Or was it a bad decision because we just let it get too hard and we didn't do anything about it? So what's caused us to quit? I think we have to answer that question because we need to understand what's going on for us. Is it something that I really needed to let go of? Or is it something that I need to push through on? And if I quit it, it's actually going to be detrimental. It's going to stop us from pushing forward again next time or make it harder to push forward again next time. So we have to think about that. And then the last thing is it a pattern or a habit we've developed? If you can think of lots of different good things that you quitted, can I suggest you developed a habit of quitting when it got too tough? And my word to you this morning is don't quit. God is pushing for you and He is there and He is wanting you to achieve what He's called you to achieve. In Nehemiah, and we'll finish up very soon, but in Nehemiah we see the people of Israel and they're under absolute attack from the enemy. Nehemiah has gone from where he was in captivity to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls and it gets really hard. There are threats on his life and the life of the people around him. The people around him start to say, it's getting too hard. Nehemiah did not. He could have quit, but he didn't. He could have said, it's too hard. I'm being attacked from every side and nobody likes me here and life's horrible and I'll just go back to where I came from. At least in the palace of the king, I was safe. Okay? But what did he say? He said, no. God has given me a purpose. I am going to build the walls of Jerusalem. I am going to build a protective ring around this city. And he did. He refocused. He said, what is it that God is calling me to do? He focused on the reason that he was there. He focused on the reason that he'd set out in the first place. He focused on the goal that was ahead, which was rebuild those walls. And he chose not to be threatened or frightened by the stuff that was going on around. And in the process of refocusing, he was able to help others get on board and do the work and get it completed. See, he encouraged others to refocus. Can I tell you, it was hard. They ended up building that wall with a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other. It was hard work. But guess what? That wall was built quicker than anybody said it ever would. The wall was built and it lasted. It stayed. It didn't come down. It was there. And you know, he completed his task. He didn't quit when he could have. And I think we need that kind of attitude. We need to say, there is a purpose and I don't care what comes at me. I don't care what thoughts are going to attack me. I don't care what things are going to be there. I am going to make a decision that I am not going to quit. I'm going to focus myself. And if I've lost focus, I'm going to refocus on what that vision and purpose was. See, Nehemiah knew that God had called him and that God would enable him. And girls, God has called us and he has enabled us. So what vision or goal do we need to refocus on? Where have we got a little bit lost? What vision or goal do we need to refocus on? And maybe we can think about some habits that we've developed that might just be hindering us along the way. They may be habits of thought. They may be habits of action. They may be, And look, girls, sometimes stuff happens in life and we have to stop things for a while. That's not quitting. But if we never get back to it, it is. Sometimes we have to take a break for a while. But let's focus and move forward, hey? Let's not quit. So my challenge to all of us is to refocus and redirect our energies back onto the vision of what God has called us to do and not on the circumstances of our life at the moment. God's called us to push through that quit zone. He's called us to win. He's called us to run the race right to the very end. And I guess the last thing is that it really is short-term pain for long-term gain. It's the long-term gain that we're after. So girls, this morning, why don't we stand together? Why don't we just spend some quiet time before God? I want us to think about some of the things that might be an issue for us. I want us to think about some of the things that are causing us to feel like we want to quit and ask God to help us to to move through those things. Ask God to help us to look at the long term, not just where we are today. Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father, that you have called us to be winners. You have called us to be victors. Your word says that we are more than conquerors through Christ. And I thank you, Father, that in Christ we have victory in every aspect of our lives. And Father, it may not look like it today, but we're going to stand here in faith and we're going to say we have the victory through Christ. We can do all things through Christ. That we can stand before you, Lord, and say we will push forward. We will not quit. We will move forward into what you've called us to do. But Father, I pray, Lord, where we're struggling. I pray, Father, where we get to that wall and we just go, oh God, it's too hard. That Father, that we would get round people that will encourage us. That Father, that we will seek your word. That we will come into your presence and that we will find strength in you. Because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Father, I just thank you, Lord God, for your love and your grace. And I pray, Father, for every single woman here this morning, that, Father, that they would be women who would just say, quitting is not an option. In Jesus' name, amen.